We will turn to the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, part of verse 16. A part of verse 16 in chapter 2. Good hope through grace. Good hope through grace. Both these epistles to the Thessalonians, the apostle seems to have been much enlarged in heart and spirit. They were evidently a favoured church. We don't find that he had to write to them in respect of those sorts of abuses and errors that he perceived to be at Corinth, nor with regard to that turning away from the liberty and blessedness of the gospel as he feared was the case in Galatia. Evidently he had a very sweet, comfortable persuasion about these Thessalonians. Why? He gloried in them, in the churches of God. He could thank God for them because their faith grew and their charity abounded. Wonderful a condition then that the Lord granted to these Thessalonians. And wonderful indeed if the same were done for the churches in our own day, and faith grew exceedingly and charity everyone all toward each other abounded. And he had so much of comfort to speak to these Thessalonians, so much that he desired might be for their strengthening and upholding in the way. Just before this text I've read, he gives thanks again for them. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, a heart enlarged, a sense of that being one in Christ. The true Church of God is but one in Christ. Several members, members differing in various particulars one from another, but members of that one body of Christ, and none to say to another, I have no need of thee. You see, there was the persuasion that these were brethren, beloved of the Lord. Not just some idle designation of one another as brother, a gracious persuasion, what made manifest their standing in the Lord. Divine choice, choice unto salvation, the sanctification of the Spirit, the belief of the truth, the calling by the gospel, and the end of that calling, the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There may be many of the people of God that have indeed, by divine grace and power, come under this calling of the gospel. But being so much troubled in the way, so often tempted, passing through so many things that may bring them very low, that there's so often a losing sight of this end of the matter, isn't there? These that he calls by the gospel, it's to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and from that the apostle comes to the the exhortation to stand fast. These exhortations, not to dwell at any length on them, but they are needful, aren't they? But they're not fulfilled, not walked in any creature strength. It's always and only as the Lord give grace, as the Lord gives strength, as he upholds and provides. These are weak in themselves, just as helpless as the apostle found himself to be. They are dependent upon the Lord for the sufficiency of his grace, for the strengthening in the inward man, for the upholding by his power. And then there's a standing fast and a holding to the truth. If this was a timely word for these highly esteemed and beloved people in the Church of the Thessalonians, what great need for us in our own day to seek divine help, to stand fast, and to hold the traditions, not men's of course, but these taught by word, the word of truth, or our epistle. And now the apostle comes in these two last verses in the chapter to express his tender, loving desire for them, that the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father would comfort their hearts and establish them in every good word and work. And the words that I read by way of a text refer to those things the apostle, or one of those things the apostle knew the Lord had bestowed upon and done for these Thessalonians, that the Lord had done these things for them, had loved them, had given them everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Well, we would seek to note the source then of this good hope, because it is the source that determines what sort of hope a person has. And that hope is only a good hope which is of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God the Father, that comes from above, that is of the Lord. Are not a number of you, I hope it may be all of you, but are not a number of you absolutely convinced that from what's beneath, that is from earth, and from within yourselves, there can't ever come what is of real worth? Now men look for that, may think that they have found something or have produced something, but all these things come under that absolute declaration of Scripture that the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, you may be conscious of so much opposition in heart and mind to that truth, that the flesh profiteth nothing. That may be ready as left yourself, say, well, what then does it avail, everything I attend to, everything I engage upon, or my religion, or my doings, if it all profits nothing? You see, the Lord will have his people to be brought away from all that is of self, all that is of the other, that they won't be left to find goodness there. All is sin marred, isn't it? In the flesh there dwells no good thing. From the things of nature, no spiritual good. The Lord's providential bounties, yes, but no spiritual good. Not all the religion that men have ever engaged in that has been of themselves has been of any worth. Great mercy if the Lord bring you and me to cast it all away, to esteem it nothing worth. Your mind may go to that word in the Revelation of concerning those that suppose they were rich and had need of nothing. It was all ignorance on their part, wasn't it? They didn't know what their state was. They didn't know what they needed, and that what they needed could only come from the Lord, to be bought of him. What need to be kept from self-deceit, from fancied goodness and fancied hope? But this was given to these people by the Lord himself. It was given through grace. I hope we may be helped to reflect a little on this good hope later, but it was given by the Lord, and it was given through grace. And what is there that the Lord's people receive that does not come to them in that way through grace? And this is their great mercy, that it comes through grace, that it's of the exceeding grace, the boundless grace, the free grace, the sovereign grace of the Lord. As for you that are the blessed of the Lord in soul, reflect at all on what he has done for you, what you have received, on any blessing that has come to your soul. But don't you have so? It was through grace, all of grace. Twas grace inscribed my name in God's eternal book. It was grace that drew me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace all the works shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves the prize, the grace of God, the grace of God to sinners, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder that so often in the end of his epistles the apostle comes back to this matter, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through grace. Grace beyond all measure. What could any of us receive from the Lord in the way of blessing, but for his grace, the grace of God, exceeding abundant towards his people? Nothing that they have not received, and nothing that has not been received through grace. Well, aren't there some times when, feeling this, you would fall at the feet of the Lord to bless him for his grace, to wonder at his grace, the purpose of it, the work of it, and the provision of it to your soul? And may I not add this, for I know not, but there may be some much condemned at present in mind and heart, and feeling how wretched their case is, wondering whether because of what they are there can be blessings for them. Why? You'll never come to merit the blessing of the Lord, never come to be deserving of the least goodness at his hand. But there is grace with him, grace beyond all measure, grace for the sinner, grace for the dying, grace for the lost. Oh, may you be so favoured and be helped come pleading in that way. Oh, you may be so persuaded by your reasoning and by the enemy of souls that you had better get yourselves more suited, more deserving of some blessing from the Lord. But it is not in that way that his people are blessed. It's of his free, his sovereign, his rich grace. There is forgiveness with him. It's in the way of his grace. Grace for sinners. Yes, 'twas grace beyond all measure. The hymn writer's quite accurate in that, isn't he? Not something to be defined, not something bounded. Grace beyond all measure. When he bade such sinners live, laid aside his just displeasure and determined to forgive. His grace, they had received it through grace. And just notice that through grace there are such full, such great favours received by the people of God. Well, they're not small things. They're of his abounding grace. Oh, they're rich blessings. And again, our hymn writer comes at once and suitably to it. Rich blessings are in store in Grace's magazine. Just the same store. Just the same grace that has had been shown to these Thessalonians. Well, they've been given good hope through grace, blessed, called by grace, taught, saved by grace, in everything, the Lord working by his grace in their hearts. Well, they have been given good hope. The source of it, the Lord himself. And it may be the apostle was inspired to speak of it particularly as good hope, that these Thessalonians might reflect again on the favour of such a hope as this, whilst many, and many still, it may be for all that we know, delude themselves with a hope that cannot be called, at least not as before the Lord, a good hope. How the scripture distinguishes things which differ. It isn't so in the general religion of men, and perhaps particularly in these days, in the professing church at large I'm referring to, tries to disguise the differences and make things the same, make things one that differ really. The hope of the hypocrite shall perish. There is a hope then that isn't worth anything. Sooner or later there is a perishing of false hope. What makes a man so that he's not a hypocrite? Grace. Well, it's not himself, is it? Grace makes him honest. Grace makes him humble, sincere, simple-hearted before the Lord. Or are some of you perhaps fearful lest you should be found hypocrites? Grace, if I may put it in this way, is the preventative for that. Oh, if the Lord by his grace work in your heart, you won't be left then, despite what your nature is and what your own hearts are, you won't be left then to be a hypocrite. Oh, how it softens and humbles and brings a sinner in meekness and in godly fear to the feet of the Lord. Well, the hope that these had received wasn't like that. This was a good hope. Good, then, as to the source of it. Good, I believe also, as to the sustaining of it. The sustaining, the maintaining of it, still by the Lord, still by his grace, in the hearts of his people. Now, just as no man can keep alive his own soul, none can keep for himself, and certainly none can keep in exercise within himself anything that is spiritual. It must all come from the Lord. It must all be preserved and maintained by the Lord. And this hope is good in the continuing, the maintaining of it. Now, in saying that, I don't mean for a moment that the child of God will always feel his hope to be without cloud, without interruption, always feel it to be bright and clear and firm. If you and I are left to measure things and judge things by what we feel in our own mind, we shall make many mistakes. Not that we can ignore such things, but you read of a good many in Scripture who supposed, who felt what proved to be quite mistaken. One notable case often referred to is that of David. I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. He felt that. Seemed a settled matter in his feelings. All mistaken. Well, hope isn't always bright and clear. Things seem to lay heavily upon the mind. I do believe that this that the Lord puts within the hearts of his people, like that living faith he bestows, is kept alive. It's kept alive by the Lord. Oh, he doesn't forsake what he's done and what he's worked and what he's bestowed upon his people. May we not view this as within that word that speaks of he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If that be a good work which the Lord has begun in his people, when through grace that he has given them hope, will he not perform that? Will he not cherish it and care for it until the day of Jesus Christ? However low it burns, whatever things may speak against it, the Lord maintains. And there are times when he causes it again to spring up in some fresh power and sweetness in the hearts of his people. It's the inward reviving, isn't it, then? It's the lifting up of the light of his countenance. Take those words, written more than once, with only the slightest variation, if that, between one record and another. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Where's your hope gone? Why this darkness? Why this sad countenance? Why these unbelieving fears? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He wasn't feeling at that time his hope to be sure and clear, was he? Oh, it's like that hope not seen. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Again, what need for grace, patiently to wait for it. But referring to those words in the psalm brings us to another point, doesn't it? This hope given by the Lord, what was it the psalmist said? Hope thou in God. Oh, would you see the goodness of this hope? Then consider not only the gracious giver of it, and his faithfulness in the maintaining of it, but see where this hope fixes. Hope thou in God. You see, that sort of hope may well be called a good hope, don't you think, in God? Why? Because there, in him, there's everything you need and everything the quickened soul desires. There's every blessing. There's all mercy, all truth, all goodness, all power, all wisdom. Hope thou in God. Why? That he will yet supply your needs. That he will yet appear for you in all your matters. That he will yet uphold you with his right hand. That he will guide you by his counsel, and afterward bring you to glory. Hope thou in God, for he's the health of your countenance and your God. You that by grace are brought to this good hope, hope thou in God, good hope. Now, good hope is in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In what, in whom, does the needy sinner hope? Why, in the Saviour of sinners. He may look to the law, but he finds no hope there. He may look to himself and to his profession and to his vows, his zeal, his prayers, and one thing and another. But as he's enlightened by the Lord, he finds no hope there either. But when he looks to Christ, through grace, for it's in the way of grace that Christ is made known, it's in the way of grace that he's drawn to Christ, it's in the way of grace that he receives faith to look to Christ, why, there's hope for him. Hope, because here's a Saviour that is the Saviour of sinners. Here is hope, because of the faithful testimony, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's hope there, then. There's hope too, because there's cleansing and there's healing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, whatever we may endeavour, can't take away the least stain from our souls, can we? But here there's provision. There's blood to cleanse from all sin. There's blood still with power to cleanse. The same power, the same virtue, the same fountain. Oh, good hope. The sinner hopes in Jesus Christ and in the righteousness of Jesus. Oh, what objects these are, and what blessed things hope aspires to. Because while there are so many things the child of God needs, and through the mercy of the Lord receives from the Lord, and he hopes that he may yet receive, and he looks to the faithfulness of his God, yet there is a good hope in what is beyond all his time here on earth, isn't it? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Oh, they have good hope for that which is to be. They have good hope for the world. They have good hope for eternity. It's through grace, the fruits of Jesus' righteousness, and by his Spirit given. And when the soul to march prepares, Good Hope sends out her fervent prayers and dies at peace but with heaven. Good Hope but through grace. And then just in closing, consider again what the Apostle writes elsewhere. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and that entereth into that which is within the veil. That's where the forerunner has entered, where the Lord Jesus Christ, not into the holy places made with hands, the figures of the true, but into pass within the veil. All this hope is so secure then. It's cast within the veil. It's cast in Christ, his person, his word, his faithfulness, his blood, his righteousness, his blessed promise. Are not some of you, despite all your many temptations and tossings, blessed with this good hope through grace? And if at times it seems to come very low, I'm sure you wouldn't part with it, but highly prize it and seek that the Lord may lift up the light of his countenance upon you and enable you to rejoice once more in him. But this that they receive through grace, it can't be lost, it can't fail, it can't be disappointed. Can't be disappointed. Oh, how different to so many hopes that people have, not only with respect of time things, but solemnly in respect of soul things. Things that are solemnly found to have no, that they're not within the veil, you say. They have nothing to do with those immutable things, or sure, settled, unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Oh, how sure the promise there remains. How faithful is the Lord. Well, the Lord, in his grace, grant to us then this good hope, and forgive anything now spoken amiss.
Service this evening by singing hymn number 1106. The tune is Walton 430. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Hymn number 1106.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.